from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Seth Kaiser. It's just me, and you guys know what that means. That means it is time for another mailbag, Locked On Chiefs style. You guys know the drill. I asked for questions. You gave me like 70. And so we're going to see how we can possibly get through this in a limited amount of time. As always, if you want to check out the work that we're doing elsewhere, obviously we've got these five shows a week that we bring you. You can check out Ryan's stuff on YouTube at RJR Football. You've got Chris, who writes, I think, for every website on the planet, but specifically at Chiefs Digest and the Locked On Chiefs site. And my stuff, as you know, you can find on theathletic.com, where it's just oodles and oodles of fun. All right, that's enough. Let's do this. Austin says, on defense as it stands now, what do you think is more vital to improve at this point? Defensive line, linebackers, defensive backs? Because I'd argue linebacker. You could, Austin, but you'd be wrong. And here's the reason. Because linebacker just isn't as important in a 43 scheme. While you do need to have your linebackers running around making plays, it is a little bit easier when you've got your defensive lineman also in attacking mode. No longer is it the job of the defensive lineman to simply occupy blockers. At least in the system that Spagnuolo's used in the past. I would say that the most important thing they can do is to continue to build up the defensive back group. I think Bill Belichick showed a good example for how a defense can be built from the back forward. In the modern NFL, I don't think you can scheme your way to success in the passing game. I think you need talent there in order to do it. And I think you can scheme your way to some success in terms of defending the run and in terms of the pass rush. Traforduce says, no matter how much stuff, this is a family show. It says stuff is what I'm changing it to. We'll clean up or get rid of on defense. Why in the world should we leave the largest pile of Sorensen remaining on the defense? You know, Dan Sorensen gets a bit of a bad rap at this point. I'm not the biggest Daniel Sorensen fan, but the reality is he's not terrible. He just doesn't have any specific strengths. And that's a little boring for fans. I think coaches like him because he seems to be a hard worker. I think he's fairly assignment savvy. And even though he's not particularly good at any one thing, he's not horrendous at any of them either. I think that's why you see him sticking around. Waldog says, if he gets a clean bill of health on his shoulders, should the Chiefs look at Ziggy Ansah? I don't know. It just doesn't really get me going, to be perfectly honest. If they're going to go for someone, I think they should go for broke along the edge. Or just let Breland Speaks and see how he does. There's a couple questions that people ask about very specific draft picks. If I haven't studied them, I'm going to be skipping over them. I'm very sorry. Scott Sather says, I think TJ Hawkinson would make this offense untouchable. What draft position, or at all, would you be willing to trade up to grab him? I would trade up to 20 to grab that guy. He is a fantastic receiver, fantastic after the catch, great with the ball in the air, excellent hands, and an exceptional blocker already. He is the type of guy that you can move all around and create mismatches. I really like him. I would love to see the Chiefs try to use him and Kelce. And the reality is, Kelce's not getting any younger. I think he's probably got at least another two or three elite years left in him. But you never know. And so there's no reason to not start planning for the future while securing the present. I would love it if they grabbed him. Neil Maxwell says, are you concerned about the possibility of a strike in a few years? Could think of anything worse than being a Chiefs fan and losing years from Mahomes' prime. Not particularly. I've talked about this before. The NFL is a bit of a complicated league for the players' union. And the reason for that, and I think a lot of people have figured this out intuitively, is that you've got 53-man rosters. And on those 53-man rosters, you've got maybe six or seven guys that are stars. If that, you might have maybe 10 guys that are popular. There are guys that are liked, but there aren't a lot of stars. It's not a star-driven league the same way that the NBA is, where on every team, they only have five starters, and that's still almost half the team. And so everyone's a little more well-known, whereas in the NFL, you have an entire churning of guys underneath. You've got, 1,500 players or whatever it is. It is difficult to get that many non-stars willing to strike because these guys know that they've got like a 3-year window here to make a couple million bucks and then maybe make more if they get lucky or just get out. And they know that. And that's what makes it so hard. And then the fact is, as an NFL player, unless you're a star quarterback, you are generally speaking more replaceable than an NBA player. That's just the way it works. Now, I'm not saying that makes it right. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I'm just saying that's the way it is. They have less leverage inherently because of the way football is set up. And so I don't think they'll ever get organized enough to necessarily strike unless they get every single star quarterback on board. And even then, I just don't see it happening. Chris says, do you think we should trade a second round pick for a corner and draft a pass rusher? Do you think Boston is a post-draft player that'll sign? Yeah, I'd love to see them trade a second-round pick. We talked about this last time. I'd love to see them trade, especially for, say, like a Patrick Peterson, someone who's maybe on a team that's in a rebuild mode. I would love to see them do that. Trey Boston, I think if the Chiefs were going to show interest, they would have by now. Their secondary coach was in Arizona last year. That's an obvious in. If he doesn't want him, well, then what are you going to do? Taylor Moss says, who would help Chiefs defense more in their prime? Cherry, Wesley, or Woods? Cherry. And I don't think it's even particularly close at this point. Ron Kopp Jr. asks, if you could magically pick any player in this year's draft for the Chiefs, who would it be? Oh, man. Any player for the Chiefs in this year's draft? I would have to say probably, what is that? That defensive tackle out of Alabama, Williams, I want to say. I know it sounds like I don't know much about him, but I've watched him a little bit. Him and Ed Oliver, they are incredibly impressive specimen, and I think they could help this defense a lot. Philip V. Magruder says, I want to know what is the difference between trading for Patrick Peterson or Xavier Rhodes in terms of draft capital. Who's the easiest to trade for, and would you consider trading for Xavier Howard from Miami? He's a 2020 free agent. Howard's a stud from everything I've heard. I would be surprised if he were on the block, considering the salary cap situation that they're in with him. Rhodes, I assume, would cost less than Peterson, just because Mike Zimmer is publicly commenting about him and all that fun stuff. On the flip side, I trust Rhodes a lot less than I trust Peterson, because Peterson has been consistently great year in and year out. Jeff Carlisle, I think I nailed it. If I didn't, Jeff, I'm really sorry. If you could add any player to our team, who is it? Any player at all in the entire NFL, Aaron Donald, I would have to say. He is good enough to change your entire defense with just his presence. Considering the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, I think Donald is probably the most impactful non-quarterback in the NFL. One kind of, you know, sleeper candidate for me, like if you could add literally anyone, would be like DeAndre Hopkins or George Kittle or someone like that to try to take this offense to an even more absurd level. But I think Aaron Donald is the pretty easy choice for me. Taylor Moss says, if Ward becomes a starter cornerback, does he still return kicks? If not, who would be next up in your opinion? I think you're talking about Tre'Mont Smith, and I don't think there's any chance that he becomes a starter. And so I think he's going to keep returning kicks at this point. Jim Pertles has got any other irrefutable takes? Oh, so many on things like barbecue, socks, vacation destinations, or rock and roll music. Here's what I would say. One of my irrefutable takes that I will give right now is that if you're not wearing socks all the time during the winter, you freak me out a little bit. Now, to be fair, most of you aren't from Minnesota, and my wife thinks it's weird how often I wear socks. But there's my irrefutable take on socks. See, you get a little bit of everything here. Let's take a quick break and get rolling.
Hope you guys are enjoying today's show. We want to let you know that we're going to be with you every day of the week, all off season long, just like we are during the football season. So make sure you're subscribed. Send your questions to Seth at Real Minnesota Chiefs Fan on Twitter, and check out Ryan's live Q&A sessions Monday nights on the RGR Football channel on YouTube.
All right. We're back. We're going strong. We're going to keep going. We're answering questions about socks, apparently. Zach Nizolek asks, why isn't more thought being given to playing Reggie Ragland at the SLB? He certainly has the size, and his lack of coverage skills would be hidden. The problem with the Sam linebacker being there is that, generally speaking, they've got to cover the tight end occasionally. And additionally, they need a little more length to where they can set the edge. Being strong isn't necessarily what it's all about. You need a certain type of strength and length, and nothing Ragland's done indicates that he has that particular skill set. Paul Sanchez says, what do you think about signing Sue and Dominican Sue? Seems like he's cleaned up his act. If so, how much do you think it'll take? I have no idea, but he seems like he's happy kind of being a mercenary year in and year out. He is not the world-dominating force that he used to be. However, it's kind of interesting. I think he's become a little underrated at this point after a fairly quiet, but on film still solid year in LA. Here's the deal, though. If you can't wreck defenses next to Aaron, or wreck offenses next to Aaron Donald, I just don't really know. Now, if the Chiefs signed him, I'd be pretty excited because I think he'd be very, very helpful in terms of versatility, in terms of helping with the pass rush and the run defense. But I don't know if they'd be willing to pay what it might take. But yeah, if they grabbed him, any talent you can grab on the defensive side of the ball right now, I'm happy with. Todd Lutz says, are you concerned about Tyreek? Sure. He's an exceptional receiver. And we don't know what's going to happen. So that's definitely concerning. Doing what I do, I've talked about this quite a bit to say I've got my opinions. I've given my opinions. I have no idea what's going to happen here. And so now I'm just going to let the expression? Let things fall as they will. And I'm just going to wait and see what happens. You know, most of all, I kind of hope the kiddo's okay. I hope the family's okay because ultimately, you know, I'll shoot straight with you. As I record this tonight, I picked up 3 new child protection cases today. And I got to read 3 different cases of parents who allegedly didn't parent their kids. And those are hard to represent and to watch. And it's hard to watch how many kids are out there in tough situations. So my hope is that this doesn't turn out to be one of those to where really the kiddo is okay, because there's enough of that crap going on in the world. And now that we've gotten really heavy, let's try to keep moving. Nate asks, with what you know about Andy's offense and Mahomes, what makes a bigger impact, a really good second tight end or a really good third wide receiver? I think a really good second tight end would. I don't think Harris was able to be what they needed him to be consistently enough to do it. So I would love to see them get more creative. Reed has shown the ability to turn the NFL on its head and stay ahead of the curve. I'd like to see him do that and maybe try that with the 2 tight end sets that he started to do quite a bit of, but kind of went away from a little bit. And I think that's because Demetrius Harris just couldn't provide what they wanted. Robert Chestnut asks, am I crazy? Well, maybe, for thinking the Chiefs will not be making a big splash with their cap space and said restructure some contracts to take the bigger cap hits this year. I'd be surprised if they did it to restructure, but If that's how they want to do things, I mean, it does make sense to try to take a few bigger cap hits early. However, they've got enough space in the next couple of years to where they can do that anyway if they really want to. Sam asks, are you for the theory of coverage being more important than pass rush number 1 and good coverage being more difficult to have with average players than pass rush number 2? Do you agree with both, one or neither? Well, I already kind of talked about that. Like I said, I used to be of the ilk that I felt like pass rush was way more important. And I think that there's something to be said for that. Like, a great pass rush does change the game more. But I wonder, I really do wonder, after watching what Belichick and company did in the playoffs last year, if pressure is something that can be more manufactured with one good player and then a bunch of average players, as opposed to coverage where you need a bunch of above average players and 1 star or 2 stars to really be able to play effective coverage in the modern NFL. And so while I wouldn't say it's more important, it might be more difficult to accomplish in terms of personnel, which makes you assign it more importance in terms of free agency and in terms of the draft, if that makes sense. So this is a very new feeling for me. So I want to see what the Chiefs do, but I would be very pleased if the Chiefs decide to get really aggressive, try to get a really strong cornerback group, and let's see if we can just manufacture pressure with a superstar like Chris Jones and a bunch of decent players around him, like an Alex Okafor, that kind of thing. Max Arkilla? Sorry. What position is the Chiefs' biggest weakness currently, and what do they need to do to fix it? I think right now I'm still very worried about them in terms of pass rush. I don't know what they can do to fix it. I would love to see them take someone high in the draft that can really help out, rotationally at least, as a pass rusher. Jeremy Killam says, with the roster as it sits now, do you expect the Chiefs to be back in the AFC title game next season? Yes, I do. I think the Chiefs, they've got the best quarterback. They've got one of the best coaches. That is a tough, tough, tough combination to beat. And the only reason that it happened last year that it did get beat was because D Ford lined up offsides. It's an incredibly difficult combination to beat when you've got the best quarterback and one of the best coaches. Connor Kaufman says, I'm really big on conspiracy theories, but Juju to the Chiefs in a blockbuster trade before the draft? Absolutely not. I would be absolutely 100% completely stunned, flabbergasted, out of my mind surprised if something like that happened. Also, I'm feeling thirsty. Time for a long-standing tradition. Ah, that's some good water. Ferone Peterson asked, should the Chiefs consider bringing Kelvin Benjamin back as a tight end? Absolutely not. He didn't look like a tight end, and he also doesn't get open, he doesn't block well, and he doesn't really look like he catches the ball particularly well either. I see no reason to bring him back in any form. Brian Carender says, let's play worst-case scenario for next year and assume no Cheetah. What's your over-under Mahomes TDs, assuming we replace Hill with a garden-variety wide receiver, either free agency or the draft? I would set the over-under at 35 and still take the over. Mahomes is special, and he's in an Andy Reid-led offense. I think people need to understand that Mahomes will throw touchdowns to whoever's there. He's a stud. Maybe the picks will go up, but he is going to throw a lot of touchdowns. Big Chief Sean says, which linebacker do you think is the most potential for a breakout season? I'm sticking with Anthony Hitchens. There were snaps last year. If you go back and you look at if you rewatch the games, there are more snaps than you think where Hitchens, because he was unblocked, was able to get running free and just laid guys out, and he looked like a completely different player. My hope is that that is what they envision in Spagnuolo's system, that when he runs free and he's not hesitating, that he really will suddenly become that north-south player with some sideline-to-sideline speed that I think they thought they were getting when they initially grabbed him. So that's my hope for me. Alexander Fox says, what would you think of Veach potentially, though very unlikely, making a move for an Arizona player in Fitz? While he's getting near the end of his career, he's still one of the more reliable and sure-handed wide receivers. I think he can make a good wide receiver three. Trade or more likely go draft? I don't think there's any possibility that it happens. I would love it, though. I would love it. Fitz can still play, and he can play really well from the slot. He's got an unbelievable hands. He runs unbelievable routes. He's a great team guy. And he's still got it year after year after year. He's still producing at a high level. He's not as fast as he used to be, but he's still an exceptional route runner, and he still knows how to get open, and he still catches everything around him. And so I think he would help tremendously in terms of a safety net, but I don't think there's any possibility that the Cardinals would do that, even if they are in rebuild mode. I just think he's too much of a legend. All right, we're going to take another quick break, then we're going to bring it home strong and see if we can answer about another 20 questions or so.
Now you can get Locked On Chiefs on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the normal places. We're here for you 5 days a week, all off season long, with guests, analysis, film review, athleticism, my draft guide, and all kinds of stuff from The Athletic and Chiefs Digest. Make sure you get subscribed today, and you can do it over on the Himalaya podcasting app.
All right. We're two breaks in and going strong. Let's do this. Chief in Indiana says, since the Chiefs are better in every way than the Chargers, will you and Mrs. Minnesota Chiefs fan try to one-up Philip Rivers for number of kids? No, we're done. We got 5 kids this side of heaven and another one waiting for us. That is plenty. There's so many of them, guys. Like, you don't understand. There's so many of them. Brandon asked, do you purchase any draft guides? If so, which is your favorite? I generally haven't. I know Dane Bugler's with The Athletic. He does a great job with his. I've seen snippets of it. I know there are a lot of really good ones out there. I know that some of my old colleagues at Arrowhead Pride are doing one of their own. I'm sure that'll be great. I just don't get that into the draft, because to me it ends up being a bunch of ado about nothing, to where you're studying all these players. My time is finite. I have 3 jobs and 5 kids, and a wife who occasionally likes me to pay attention to her still. And so I just don't have time to study dozens and dozens and dozens of prospects that the Chiefs aren't going to take anyway, or even hundreds. And so I just don't get that into it. Mike Marshall Wilson says, what is your favorite episode of The Office? I don't know about episodes. I tend to be kind of more of like a softy with that kind of thing. And I really do think that the season 2 episode where Jim lays it on the line with Pam, even though she breaks his heart, there's a lot of realism there. And I just thought it was a very real moment where someone really put himself out there and shot his shot and did it with dignity. I like that. Other than that, my favorite scene, though, is the scene where they've got the CPR dummy. That is one of the funniest things I've ever watched in my life. I mean, I was crying. I was laughing so hard. Robert Floyd says, do you think the Chiefs take a look at some cornerbacks in the AAF at the end of its season, like Keith Reeser or Bosby? I sure hope so. Some of those guys look like they can play, and cornerback is something that can transfer. Russell Bingham says, is it me or is John Dorsey the number one enemy of the Chiefs? When he was here, he strained relationships with players during contract negotiations, messed with the cap. Now his name always comes up like he's meddling whenever a Chief needs an extension, etc. I don't think he's really a number one enemy. I'm going to remember Dorsey fondly, even though he did some things I wish he hadn't. I think he did a lot of good things for Kansas City. Nate asks, would you give Arizona 29 for Chandler Jones without even thinking about it? I would give that to them so fast for Chandler Jones. He is one of the five best pass rushers in the NFL. He is a stud. So, yeah, I wouldn't even think about it. Zach Albers says, over under 12 wins for the 2019 season using current knowledge of the roster only. Push. I think they go 12-4. Billy R. Hodge says, how many draft picks from last year are we counting on to be starters this season? Also, whatever happened to our sixth rounder McKenzie? Do they think he will be playing, see any playing time? Do they think the project will work out? I don't think they think McKenzie will see playing time this year, but I'm curious if he might get in the mix as one of the backups this year. I kind of liked what he looked like. He's got legs like tree trunks. He looks stout. He looks like he can move a little bit. He just needs to learn how to play a whole new position. I think we are going to be counting on starting efforts from Breeland Speaks, Derek Nnadi, maybe Dorian O'Daniel, or at least as many snaps as a starter would take. And I think Armani Watts has an outside shot at starting at free safety, and I think he'd do a good job. KC Fan and PA says, one big splash move by Veach. What's your top guess on what he pulls off, free agent or trade? If he pulls off any big splash thing, I think he trades for a corner. And if he trades for a corner, I think the most likely one is Patrick Peterson. This is not based on any insider knowledge. So that's just based on me reading the tea leaves and thinking, boy, that's what would make the most sense to me. Matthew Schultz says, what past Chiefs players would be the most likely in your mind to come back and coach at the professional level one day? I think Alex Smith would be very good at it. I think Derek Johnson would be very good at it. Those are two guys that I think would do an exceptional job on their respective sides of the ball. I'm not sure if Alex Smith would be a head coach material kind of guy, but I think he'd be an absolutely fantastic quarterback's coach. I think Derek Johnson would make for an exceptional defensive coordinator and maybe even a head coach at a certain point. Chief Smokahontas. That's a really funny name. Stacy, it looks like there. That's very funny. Has the snow melted yet? No, it has not. Although, you know, it's starting. We're getting there. And since you asked a football question as well, how many games do you think Pat will play this year considering we could lock up first seed early? Do you think this will keep him from beating last year's numbers? I'd be surprised if he beat last year's numbers just because they were so historic. He put up one of the best three quarterback seasons in history last year, statistically. The odds of him matching that, no one's ever done anything like that 2 years in a row. So the odds are he won't do that. You know, maybe he throws for, you know, 42 touchdowns and 4,800 yards, and maybe some idiot, you know, somewhere, I'm sure, in the talking heads fears, well, Mahomes took a step backwards, the league's adjusted to him. Well, no, it's just that's how things go. But it also, if anyone were to do it, it would be him and Andy Reid's offense. Big Debo says, should the Chiefs take a look at Sean Oakman for the defensive line, offer him a prove it contract, dude's in shape and needs a chance. He was found not guilty of whatever he was accused of and was going to be a first rounder. I'd take a hard pass. I don't know enough about the situation, and I'm just not willing to stick my neck out on things like that right now. Rod73M says, what are your thoughts on Passanio now that he has a system more suited to him? Any chance Daly can bring him out of the doghouse? Man, I sure hope so. He's one of those guys that looks like he has all the tools, and every time I've watched him play, I thought he looked pretty solid. So that's been frustrating for me, and I would like to see more of him. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, he certainly seemed to fall out of favor as the year went along last year, but I don't trust that defensive staff at all. So we'll see what Brendan, I think I've called him Matt Daly before. What Brendan Daly thinks of him, that could be a dark horse candidate to get some snaps and help out the pass rush. Because every time he's gotten on the field, I thought I've seen the size, strength, length, and athleticism ability to help. So we'll see what happens. Bob Turner says, teams will try to keep up with Kansas City by either game planning two ways. Ball control, running offense, vertical game, a hybrid of the two. So shouldn't our defense be built around stopping the run via front four and the secondary to stop the vertical game? That's what I'm seeing from Veach. Yeah, sure. I could agree with that. You want to be able to stop the run if you think teams are going to try to play ball control with you. Although, here's what I would say. Unless another team can play fantastic defense against you, a ball control running offense isn't going to do them any good. They're just going to eventually fail. The vertical game, definitely. That's something they need to be better about. That's why I would love to see them look really long and hard at Adderley and Thornhill, who I think are by far the two best free safety prospects in this draft. I've loved what I've seen of Adderley. Thornhill, I've only seen a little, but I've liked what I've seen so far. Walker Brown asks, how many years in a row does Kansas City have to win the division in order to be a favorite to win the division? Apparently that number is infinity, Walker, because no one seems to think that they're going to do it again this year. It's the craziest thing. Los Holmes says, what's your outlook on the upcoming season? We have less talent overall, but made acquisitions at key positions, not to mention the total overhaul of the defensive coaching staff. You nailed it. The overhaul of the defensive coaching staff could be the most important part of all that. As far as talent goes, they might be a little less talented, depend on who develops and what happens from here on out. There's a lot of offseason left to go. All right, we've got time for maybe one or two more. ONH asks, favorite fictional football show? Easily the Friday Night Lights television series. If you haven't watched that, it is exceptional. You know, it probably starts off the first few episodes seem like a pretty cliched show, but I'm telling you, it is one of the best television shows I've ever watched. I'll probably rewatch it again sometime soon. It is so great. And so I could not encourage you to watch it more. All right, let's do one more. I've got a couple. Some people are asking about conspiracy theories with regards to Tyreek Hill and whether the team might have released information to try to help with the negotiations. If they did that, I hope it gets exposed, and I hope the Chiefs get slapped with incredible penalties. And I say that as a big, big, big fan of the Chiefs. If they did that, that's not okay at all for contract leverage or negotiations. That would gross me out and would make me question my fanhood. Fortunately for me, I don't think the Chiefs would ever do that. I don't think Brett Veach would do that. I don't think Andy Reid would do that. Andy Reid would never, ever, ever do that to a player, in my opinion. Derek Hayes, and this is what I think we're going to be on our last one. What do you think about the Chiefs trying to re-sign Alan Bailey? Because the Chiefs moved Chris Jones to defensive end. I think he'd be an elite defensive end in a 43. I also think filling the defensive tackle position would be much easier. I could agree with a lot of that. I don't think Chris Jones would be moved likely to a full-time defensive end position, but he can be moved around. The thing is, in this defense, you know, playing that three tech, that could be a place for Jones to thrive because you're supposed to be shooting gaps and making plays. And keep in mind, I mean, Alan Bailey's a guy who could play defensive end in this particular scheme, and I think he'd be pretty good at it. And so I like them bringing back Alan Bailey if they're able to. I think that would help staunch the bleeding a little bit. He is often undersold as one of the guys that they lost. Obviously, he wasn't nearly as big a loss as Ford or Houston, but it does help reduce the talent level on defense. So I would love to see them bring him back. Oh, man. And now I do have one last one from Anthony S., who asks, have you eaten at any barbecue joint other than Joe's in Kansas City? Why, yes, Tony. I'm glad you asked. I have eaten at Q39, I've eaten at Gates, and I've eaten at Jack's Stack. I would rate them Q39, then Jack's Stack, then Gates. Gates sauce I wasn't crazy about, at least not their original sauce. They had a few others that I liked. I loved their fries. I thought the meat was all done very, very well. Their chicken was exceptional, I will say that. Jack Stack, everything I had there was really, really, really good. And Q39 is some of the best food that I've ever eaten. So there it is. Those are my irrefutable barbecue takes that I'm sure no one will have any problems with whatsoever. All right, guys, that is the time that we have for this week. I appreciate you guys listening. Please make sure to, you know, make sure you subscribe and do all those things that you need to do with Locked On Chiefs and, you know, write a review, say something nice. Think of it as your way of doing something good in the world today. I don't know. It'll make the world a better place. Maybe. I don't know. If nothing else, it'll make Ryan and Chris feel good. And who doesn't want to make those guys feel good? They're wonderful people. Anyway, check out all our stuff we've got going on all over the web. We will be back sooner rather than later. Always appreciate you guys asking questions. Always appreciate what you guys bring to the table. This is one of my favorite parts of my job. And remember, it is a great week to be a Chiefs fan, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.